The following audio is from Solid Rock Community Church. More information about Solid Rock Community Church is available at www.solidrockcommunitychurch.com.
Solid Rock Community Church this morning. I think it was last June that I was able to join you all. And really, you truly have a special place in my heart. You know, I get to travel to different churches all throughout the U.S. and actually just got back from Southeast Asia like 3 or 4 days ago. Got to be a part of what God's doing there. And I got to tell you, there's no place like Solid Rock. And really what makes Solid Rock so special is the people, you all. And there's nothing like the warmth of being able to come in and be greeted and get to connect with who you are and the stories that God is building and doing in the lives of Solid Rock. So I just want to thank you for being that place where I could come. And I just can't think of a better church to be a part of to start off 2017 than with Solid Rock. Can I get an amen? Come on, it's awesome. And so I want to also thank Pastor Dave and Kathy for all their love and support. Since I've known them, I was a pastor in the Seattle region in Renton, Washington for about 5+ years and got to know Pastor Dave while I was a pastor at a church in Renton. And they've done nothing but support, invest, encourage my wife and I on so many levels. And Pastor Dave, I truly means the world to me, to my wife, to my daughter. That you would share this platform. And so can we just thank Pastor Dave? Can we put our hands together for what he does for this church? And really the whole pastoral team here is really incredible. And all those who volunteer and serve. And I think sometimes when we're around something, very often it's easy to take it for granted. But man, let's never forget what an honor and a blessing it is to be here with Pastor Dave, with the team, and with one another. So today I'm excited to start off this year. I really feel like the Lord's given me a distinct word for this church, for you, and you might be new to church, or maybe, you know, you woke up a little bit hungover, who knows, this morning, and you're thinking, hey, man, maybe I should go to church and go through the snow and hear maybe to start off 2017 a little bit different than how 2016 ended. And so today we're going to be talking about peace. And we're really going to be breaking down what it is, the peace that God offers for us in our lives, and how we can really be a part of it, how we can embody it, how we can walk in it, how we can actually create it in our lives. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And I pray that this year, over you as an individual, over your family, over your business, over your career, over your dreams, that it would truly be a year that you wouldn't get to experience peace in moments, but it would truly be something day in and day out that you get to walk in your life. Amen? Can we do that? Let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a new year. And we don't take it for granted, Lord, that you give us breath in our lungs and that today you woke us up. And God, I don't know what the weights or the burdens that people carry as they walk into this auditorium today. But Father, I know that you know them in and out and you know them through and through. And God, whether it be pain or worry or fear or frustration or anxiety that might be clouding the potential and the purpose that you have for them, we know that in you, you can heal us, you can restore us, you can set us free to walk out and to live all that you've destined for us. So Lord, today I pray that you would transform our hearts, that you would change our minds, and Lord, that you would change the way that we live on a day in and day out basis with one another, with our loved ones, God, even the people that we disagree with. Thank you that you call us to you and to love and to life and life to the full. We look forward to what you want to do in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said? Amen. Amen. Very cool. Well, I have a picture on the screens from Asia. There we are. We just got back. I don't know. Does anyone recognize where this is? Okay. I think these are the third tallest buildings in the world, if I'm counting right. I mean, countries continue to build taller and taller buildings. But this is in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Okay. So Southeast Asia. What's really kind of cool about this is my wife's first time in Asia a couple weeks ago, and my father was actually born in Malaysia in the 60s, and when he was 10 years old, his parents moved him to Sacramento, California to plant churches, and today my grandparents are about 84 years old, and they're still pastoring their church in Sacramento, California, and we got to go and visit Kuala Lumpur. You can't really see Serenity. She's kind of darked out, blacked out in the picture, but that's my daughter. Her name is Serenity Joy, and she's 17 months old this month in just a few days. It's hard to imagine. And I think I shared this with you before, but people ask me, maybe you haven't heard me share this, if my daughter is actually serene, if she actually does have peace in her life. And the answer is no. She actually has a ton of energy. And if I ever have a son, I'm kind of scared, to be honest, with what a boy has to bring to the family, because she is everywhere. She loves to explore, you know, to adventure, you know, to talk to strangers and to interrupt people's conversations and to throw up on stuff. And, you know, she is just absolutely amazing. And so I just wanted to share that picture. It's really cool to have the opportunity to go and to experience where my grandparents live, where my father was born, and then to bring my wife and my daughter. And it totally is a whole different world there in Malaysia when it comes to food, you know, when it comes to driving on the opposite side of the road. And I can't tell you how many times I went to go in when we went driving, and I would go to the driver's side because it's the right side of the car. And the people were just looking at me so strange, like, is he trying to take my car? You know, what's happening here? But just what a totally different world, but what an amazing thing that God is doing all over the world. And we got the chance to go to a couple different churches there and just see how God is changing people's lives. Truly, even in a nation, you know, Malaysia's a Muslim nation where it's actually mandated that you need to have prayer rooms in every public space, and where you'll drive around the neighborhoods and you'll get to hear the different mosques at prayer times, you know, be praying to Allah all throughout the streets. And then you get to go to Christian churches and you get to see like just how passionate people are about Jesus when it's not a majority thing to be a Christian, when it's not a popular thing to be a Christian. And they're just doing amazing things, being a voice of hope to that nation that is very corrupt, has a lot of issues economically, and God is raising up his church to be a voice of hope to a world and to people that have a lot of reasons to doubt that there's any good news at all. But today, I want to share about that, because I believe God's also doing that here in Covington, Washington, at Solid Rock Community Church. You know, Pastor Dave was telling me before I got up here to speak that he's going to start an incredible series next week called Difference Makers. It's really about getting out from the four walls of the church and getting passionate about what God's passionate about. Seeing social injustices change, seeing racism end, seeing things like disparities or access to resources, whether it be education, healthcare, food, trafficking, you name what issue there is in the world where people are suffering and struggling. God is not waiting. God's not silent. God's not dead. Guess who God's using? God's using his church. And this year, he's calling us to be a people who are willing to stand for justice, to stand against oppression, to stand against tyranny or people who seek power or seek self-seeking interests. God is calling his church to heal relationships, to restore families, to rebuild communities. And the only way that this is possible is through what Jesus declares in John 15, the peace that Jesus brings and gives. There is a peace that the Old Testament talks about, if you study it, where the reign of God was actually known as a rule of peace. And the Old Testament word for it is actually shalom. Have you ever heard this word before? Let's say it on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Shalom. Ready? That was awesome. 2017. Ready? Let's say it again. One, two, three. Shalom. And see, shalom is literally translated to the word peace, but it's actually much more than just like a noun or a state of things. Actually, the peace of God is the reign of God, which is the flourishing and the thriving of all creation. Okay, so you have God as creator, you have all of creation, the universe, the cosmos, you know, land, water, animal, humanity, right? That's all creation. And then he has us all interconnected in relationship. And the shalom of God is about joining God into the world's flourishing, into our relationships flourishing, into not seeking to overpower one another or to take from one another, but to actually invest in the best of one another. See, this is what the peace of God and the reign of God is all about. And when Jesus was with his disciples and he was about to get crucified, he told his disciples, I'm going to leave you in just a little bit. And you're not going to see me anymore, but actually you're still going to know me. you're still going to know what this is all about. So in John 15, we find this these words, John 14, that Jesus declares to his disciples. If you have your Bibles, you can open up there. John 14 and verse 25. And these are the last few things that Jesus declares before he leaves. He says this, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the advocate," or some translations might say the helper, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So Jesus literally is saying, I know I'm going to leave and the world never recognized me. In fact, if you're in me, the world won't even recognize you. But you, as my disciples, will still know me. How? Through the helper, through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to help you live out my life. Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to empower and enable you to not just worship who I am, but to actually share in the things that I do. In fact, if you read this later, he says, those who are in me will do what I did, and even greater things will they do through the power of the Holy Spirit, the helper, the advocate. And then he says these profound words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives, so do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." What an interesting thing that Jesus says to his disciples as he's about to leave them and give them the greatest mission of all time, to share his love with the entire world. And the pep talk that Jesus gives before this big moment is just a few words. And he says, and it's, "I'm going to give you the helper, the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give you my peace, so don't be afraid." If I was one of the disciples, I would have been like, "Hey, can you give me a little bit more of a game plan here? Okay, like, did you leave us some money? Did you leave us some land, right? Did you leave us like a big strategy for this whole thing? I mean, you know, come on, if we're going to invest in a business plan or something, usually we're going to sit down with someone and say, okay, what is the cost? How's this all going to work? How's this all going to look?" But Jesus' words are very mysterious because he gives them this huge task, but he says, "Okay, literally I'm going to send you the helper, the Holy Spirit." I mean, that sounds kind of interesting, right? Like, how does that all work? "And then I'm going to give you my peace." Okay, right? And the interesting thing about peace is that St. Augustine said these words about it, and it's actually Latin. I think it'll have it on the screen. But the words are translated by St. Augustine is that there is not one person who does not desire peace, okay? St. Augustine was an early church philosopher and theologian. And what's so interesting about peace, if you think about it, we have conflicts all over the world. You don't have to look far on the news to see what people disagree about. What there's violence happening, there is corruption happening. But what all people can agree on, even if it's not religion, even if it's not a way to raise a child, even if it's not, you know, a way that you should operate your family, pretty much if you ask anybody in the world, do you want to have peace? Pretty much everybody says, yeah, that's something I want in my life. I want to see peace happen. St. Augustine said, there's not one in the world who does not desire peace. So now the question becomes, what does that peace look like? What does it feel like? What does it taste like? What does it sound like? Do you get what I'm saying? What is that peace actually, what does that actually look like? See, there's a common way that people deal with peace in society today. I mean, you don't have to look very far. And usually the way that people seek peace in society today is by overcoming or getting rid of conflict or obstacles. Malcolm X, you might know this name, back in civil rights time, said that sometimes you have to pick up a gun to be able to put down a gun. What does he mean by that? He was meaning that sometimes you have to be forceful or you have to be abrupt and you have to take what's yours so that you can stop being taken from. That philosophy of trying to find peace is really rooted in this idea that if I can just get rid of the frustrating things in my life, well, then I'll have peace. And you might think of, if I ask you the question, what does peace look like to you? And you might have 1,000 different answers. You might have, well, I'd love to be on the beach of Hawaii, right? Like sipping a piña colada and not having a worry, having island music playing behind me and having someone come and ask whatever I would like to eat, right? Like this might be, in your mind, what peace looks like, feels like, tastes like. I know for me, I have a 17-month-old daughter, and there's definitely nights where I feel like sleeping through an entire night in peace is impossible. So pray for me, right? But you might be a young parent, you might, or caregiver, and you might know what that's like. So we might think that peace is found in overcoming the annoyances or the conflicts or the frustrations of life. See, in Jesus' time, the government or the empire that was in control was the Roman Empire, right? And they actually had a phrase for this idea of peace. They called it Pax Romana. Have you ever heard of this? Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. And they had a quote that went along with that that said this: if you want peace, prepare for war. Okay? What do you think that they're trying to communicate? They're saying, if you want life to be how you want life to be, then you have to destroy all your enemies. You have to be more powerful. You have to be faster, bigger, stronger, more powerful than everybody else. And if you can do that and you can gain control, if you can gain power, well, you'll live a peaceful life. I have a picture of a board game called Pax Romana up on the screen. And you can see it. It's two warriors fighting or getting ready for battle, right? And I don't know about you, but does that scene look very peaceful? Right? Just two warriors getting ready for battle. Does that truly look like a picture or an image of peace? So when Jesus comes and he says these words to his disciples that I'm going to give you my peace and it's going to be with you and it'll lead you into my life, which they saw Jesus as somebody who had every right to take up a war against the empire. I mean, he was the one who was crucified and killed by the government. We don't think about this oftentimes when we think about the life of Jesus. We think, oh, he's so nice. He loves the kids. You know what I mean? He heals the lepers. Like, he's everybody's best friend, right? Wrong. Like, Jesus was killed by Roman leadership and by actually religious leadership from his own religion. Jesus was a Jew who was a practicing Jew who came to the Jewish leaders and said, wait a second, you've got this whole picture of God wrong. You've got God boxed up into your own control, to your own systems, to your own structures, and you as religious leaders are counting out people who God says he loves. You are saying that they're not worthy, that they're not included, that they're not part of the group. And Jesus comes, and you better believe the leadership of that time didn't appreciate hearing those words. And Jesus came to him in courage and said, even when he was speaking to Pilate, and Pilate said, don't you know I have the power to kill you or to keep you from being killed? And what does Jesus say to the leadership in that time? He says, you have no power over me unless it's been given to you by the Father. What audacious words to be saying to a government leader who has control to either put him on a cross or not. But Jesus said, no. You guys think that peace is found through violence. But what did Gandhi say about peace? He said, an eye for an eye will make the whole world blind. Jesus knew that you can't create peace through means of violence. That in order to actually create peace, you have to embody peace. You have to become peace. To be peacemakers the way that God is, we have to learn the way of peace. And we can't get there through the way of violence. So the question I want us to ask today to ourselves as we think deeper about this concept of peace that Jesus offers is a few questions. The first question is this, and this is a personal question. Ask yourself this. Do I live in peace? Think about that. As you go through your day, you think about the unfinished business you might have, you think about the way things are going in your job, in your family, in your marriage, in your singleness, with your education. Is there a sense of peace that you walk in, that you flow with every day? The second question is, do the ones that you love, do the ones I love, do they live in peace? You know, think about the ones you care for, your neighbors, people in your community, your coworkers. What's the level of their life like? Do they know peace on a day-to-day basis? And then that third question is a pretty radical question, because we might desire peace for ourselves or desire peace for our loved ones. But I think Jesus even calls us to ask this question, is do my enemies live in peace? Do the ones who have wronged me or betrayed me, what's their life like on a day-to-day basis? And the question is, if we answer that, I think if we were all honest, we would say that there's not like this complete blissful state that we all live in moment by moment. So the question is, if Jesus is saying he gives us his peace, how in the world do we get there? How can this actually be possible? Well, as we go back to what Jesus said in John 14, he says it's only possible through the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Think about this thought, and if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write it down, that the peace of God flows from being in God. Think about that. The peace of God, God's peace, God's very nature is peace. To know that peace is only found, we just sang about it a few moments ago, in Christ alone. There is no peace that is found other than in direct connection with Creator God, the one whose nature is peace. The same Spirit that hovers over all of creation, that was there at the very beginning, that it was through the Holy Spirit that creation was made, that people were liberated and set free from disease and affliction. The same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Spirit, the same help that God wants you and I to live in and with on a day-to-day basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. Jesus' number one desire for his church was what? Do you know what it was? It was to be united with God the way Jesus was united with God. Did you know when Jesus prayed for you and when Jesus prayed for me, he didn't pray that we'd be rich and that we'd have amazing, you know, houses and have a great reputation and that we would be known by everybody and we would have so much applause and everybody would just think we're the best, most amazing people in the world. Actually, the one thing he prayed for us is that we would be one with God. That we would have, that our very breath would be filled with the energy of the living God. That our thoughts and that our mind and that our actions and our behavior would be connected to the source of all life itself, to Creator God. That whether we were on the top of the valley, or excuse me, the top of the mountain, or in the lows of the valley, that we would still be connected to God. And the good news is today is that wherever you find yourself, we still have an invitation to be known and to know God. That through every circumstance, God says, I want you through my Holy Spirit to have life with me, to know me, to desire me, to seek me, and to do what I do. See, the ultimate maturity of the Christian life is not to just have a really intense routine and pattern and have all the right answers, but it's moment by moment to be aware and to flow with who God is and God's energy, his Holy Spirit, in and through and all around us. I know it's a very mysterious invitation, but it's what Jesus said is where peace is found. And we cannot have peace in our life so long as we look to our job, so long as we look to our spouse, so as long as we look to our children or even our career to give us that satisfaction. The only place that we can have rest for our heart, rest for our weary souls, is to be found in Christ, to be found in God by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what must we do to receive the Holy Spirit? Well, what did it say that Jesus said? If we're evil and we know how to give our children good gifts, then how much more will the Father not withhold the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it? So literally, the only thing that you and I have to do to receive life in the Holy Spirit is to ask God for it. I mean, what an incredible invitation. My challenge to you in 2017, if you desire to walk in peace, to know peace, to create peace, is to begin by asking and dedicating this year to say, Holy Spirit, would you capture my heart? You might have been a Christian for a long time. When's the last time that you went to God and said, Holy Spirit, I want to know and experience your love, your power, your life, your hope, and your joy? There's nothing like getting away from the hustle and bustle and stresses of all the people who want things from us, who demand things from us, and just to be with the one who loves us unconditionally and say, Holy Spirit, I desire to know the peace that Jesus said I would have in and through you. I want to know the peace that Jesus promises through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this in John 15, "I am the vine and you are the branch. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." It's so interesting. It's like we want peace, but we don't realize the only place it's found is in, even we just celebrated Christmas. What does it say in Isaiah 6 and verse 9? That Jesus, unto us a child is born, and he shall be called the Prince of what? Of peace. So we can't have peace unless we know the Prince of Peace, right? He's the one who holds all of peace itself, who embodies peace. That's like wanting peanut butter. I don't know why this came to my mind. That's like wanting peanut butter without peanuts. I was on a plane, and I asked for the chicken bowl. They said, "Do you want the vegetarian chicken bowl?" And I was thinking to myself, I want chicken. I don't want veggie chicken. And literally, they brought me this vegetarian bowl, and it was not good, right? It was like eating green beans. And I was like, if I wanted green beans, I would have asked for the green bean bowl, right? I asked for a chicken anyways. Okay, this is how we are, though, with the Lord, right? Like, we say, "God, I want to know peace. Like, I'm so stressed out. I'm so worried. I'm so anxious." But you got to realize, the only way that we can know peace is through peace itself. It's through Jesus Christ. It's through knowing the Son of God. We can't think that enough money or another house or, you know, a marriage or a relationship, or even if we have a problem in one of our earthly relationships, let's say that problem gets solved. Guess what? I guarantee you, the next day you're going to have another problem. Because that's just how life works. But the peace of God doesn't come. It's not about our circumstances, right? Catch this. The peace that God offers is not in what we have, but it's in what we're grounded in. The peace that God wants us to walk in our life is not about our circumstances or what's around us, but it's what are we rooted in? What's holding us together? Below all the stuff, below our social identity, before all the money we make or how educated we are, or whether we're male or female, or what the color of our skin is, what grounds us, what roots us at the end of the day? And I guarantee you, you will not know the peace of Jesus Christ until we realize that it's not found in what's around us or in what we own or what we have to our name or what we've attained or what we've accomplished. It's found in simply knowing Christ, because Christ is the Prince of Peace. Here's a thought, that peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of God. So that flies in the face of the way that Rome did things, right? They wanted to find peace by violence, by overpowering whatever problems they had. But Jesus actually, if you look at the way he lived his life and the way he taught his disciples to live, peace is not found in absence of a conflict, but it's found in the presence of God. So I want to encourage us today as we look around, and when we wake up tomorrow, there's going to be the same problems maybe that we see in the world. We talked about the beginning. There's going to be things that God wants us to give our lives to changing, healing, and to seeing redemption in. But we can't truly be peacemakers unless we first are connected and known in peace itself, which is the presence of God. Peace is more about our connection than our circumstances. If you take that away with you this year, maybe that's for somebody here, and you're praying for your child, you're praying for someone in your family or someone in your community, and you're saying, "God, when will this change?" And I want to encourage you today, I don't know when God will do this or when God will do that, but here's what I do know. God's love and his relationship to us is always available. So whether we get everything we want in this life or whether we get nothing we thought we wanted in this life, to be known in and through God is something that we always have an invitation to. And that, when we get that, when we receive that, when we experience that, then we can go out into a dark world and be a voice of hope and of peace and of forgiveness and of compassion. But we can't expect to go out and do that until we first experience it in our own hearts first. So as you set forth this year of 2017 and you have goals and you have things you want to accomplish, let's not get ahead of ourselves and think that just if we knock out all of our bucket lists, that we're all of a sudden going to be living in bliss. I guarantee you, once you finish and you solve all the problems you think you have now, life will find its way of giving you a whole new set of problems and things to solve. So let us not think that peace is ever found in some idealized state that's somewhere out there. Peace is found in knowing someone in here. The Holy Spirit who comes to give life and breath and energy to our very lives. Is this making sense? Is this helping a few people? Okay, I'm saying more than I had planned to say, but I want us to really remind ourselves of this in the stresses and in the weights of our day-to-day life. It's not in the absence of conflict so much as though if you're frustrated or angry, you need to, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go and fight life head on and find peace that way. You can't find peace through that energy of violence or trying to seek power. You can only find peace in knowing Christ, in being one with Christ. Okay, the second thought as Jesus was sharing that is not only is it through the Holy Spirit, but that his peace, he said, I give to you. It's so interesting that he says that because what Jesus is teaching there is so profound, is that Jesus' peace is a gift. It's a gift of grace, which means it can't be earned. You can't strive enough for it. You can't accomplish it. Yeah, you can desire it, but you can't work enough. You can't save enough pennies in the piggy bank to actually cash in and say, okay, God, I've done all these good Christian duties. Now you're supposed to give me peace. No, peace doesn't work as a kind of means of exchange. What peace is a free gift to you and I. Why? Not because we're good or because we have some righteousness inside or we've done enough good deeds to show ourselves and prove ourselves to God. Peace comes because that's what God does to his creation. He gives himself away freely because of love. We have to catch this. This humiliates our ego. You know, our ego always wants to prove that we're somebody of notoriety, that we've earned it, that we've accomplished it, that we've proven ourselves. And this is how the world works, right? Like, nothing's for free. Everything has a catch to it. Well, the beautiful thing and the good news about God is whatever your background is, however think you've succeeded in life or that you failed in life, that doesn't hold back God from giving his peace to you. God's peace is an act of grace, an act of love, and it comes before anything else. Before God demands you to go and do amazing things for him, he first wants you to receive his peace, which is free. Because otherwise, you're going to go out trying to do all these great things for God, and it's all going to be about you, trying to find your own salvation, trying to find or prove your own worth to God or to other people. You can't actually embody and walk in the life of Christ until you know you already have more than what you need. You already have been given everything that was given to Christ through God's generosity has now been given to you through faith in Christ. So once you know you have every one of your needs taken care of, now when I go and give to someone else, I'm not looking for them to return the favor. I've already been given everything that I could ever have in and through Christ. Do you see the difference? Peace is a gift. It's something we have to receive first, before the generosity of God can spill over. Before the disciples ever planted churches, preached sermons, healed the sick, went out and were these amazing leaders that we look to today, what did Jesus say? I first give you my peace. I mean, this is very mind-boggling. This is something that we don't always know what to do with. What do you mean, God? Like, don't I have to, like, say the right prayer or, you know, do something like magical or do some cool dance and show you that I'm worthy of what you want to give me, this amazing gift? And God said, no, I give it to you because I made you for it. Like God's purpose, God's design for you was to know his peace. Before he ever asked you to go do anything, God says, I want you to be with me. I want you to know me. I want you to have life in me and to know my peace. When that happens, you know what? We can't help ourselves but go and want to give that to other people. So it becomes a natural response. We go into this series of difference makers next weekend. All that is a natural response to the every single day receiving of the peace of Jesus Christ. It's a gift. I have a picture of an athlete on the screen. And the worship team can come up. I'm almost through. But this athlete, you might know him. Fastest person in the world, right? Usain Bolt. This guy is so fast. He can run a sprint faster than anybody in the world, on the planet. And this is how I see a lot of people still in their walk with God, is they're trying to run as fast as they can, get as much done for God as they can, and they're always constantly comparing. And you see how he's looking over his shoulder? if you saw that actual race, he was looking over his shoulder because basically as a sign of saying, I'm way faster than that guy. And that guy, you know, and all these people, like, look at them, and I'm still ahead of them. Just constantly comparing, right? And if you're an athlete like me, I was an athlete, I played basketball, that competitive drive is something that we always have. And that whole competition is really about this idea of I've got to be better than the other person. I've got to win. But you see, the way of God doesn't work in the sense of comparing and looking over our shoulders and saying, oh, at least I'm better than that person. God, aren't we good? Because I've done a lot more better things than so-and-so or than that. And that's how we do. We might not think it consciously, but when we go to our prayer life or our Bible study, we go, and sometimes we're heavy-hearted thinking, God, I haven't been doing like Mother Teresa type things lately. Like, are we really good? Or, man, I just have a lot of issues. And we have so much shame, and we have so much doubt in who God's created us to be. It's like this huge race. And here's the message I want you to leave with in 2017, is to stop striving. Stop competing or comparing your calling to this spiritual leader or to that spiritual leader, to whoever you think is the ultimate, holiest person in your life. You know, let them inspire you, sure, but don't compare or think that God withhold peace from your life or withhold his goodness from your life because you don't add up or measure up. His peace is a gift. God's love and salvation and his freedom is a gift. All we must do is ask and be humble enough to say, God, I'm done playing the game of striving. I'm done comparing. I'm done competing. If my purpose is to be one with you, then that's all I want. That's all I'm asking for, God. In 2017, what's my prayer? Before I have all my bucket lists and things to do, God, I want to know you more this year than ever before. I want to take the next step of faith in you to say, God, when you ask me to do something, sometimes it looks backwards in the world's eyes. I'll tell you this. There's been times the Lord's asked me to do things that I said, that's not next in the career path. Wait, Lord, like if at this point I'm supposed to have this already done, I'm supposed to have accomplished this, or I'm supposed to have received this. And God says, yeah, but if you want to know me, which is your purpose, then actually you're going to go ahead and do this decision or choice. And I think the Lord's calling some of you this year in 2017 to reconsider your goals and your dreams and desires, to not be found in self-promotion or in making all the things you think would give you the life you want, but to say, Lord, I want to be one with you. I want to walk with you. I want to be obedient in a way, not out of obligation or not out of proving myself, but God, I just want to know the life of Christ. I want to live the life of Christ. I want to taste and touch and experience the life of Christ. That's what you were made for. And your heart will not find peace until you give yourself to that life. And I'm almost done, but I really do want to end with this thought, is that forgiveness is the doorway to peace. Read this in Acts 2, 37 and 38. When people had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, these were new people who want to follow Jesus. Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we already covered to receive the Holy Spirit, you must ask. But what does Scripture teach us is also necessary to receive the Holy Spirit and life in Christ? It's this element of forgiveness. And I think this is very profound because when Jesus finished the line of saying, do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid, that we just read, you notice it actually takes courage and faith to let go of grudges and bitterness. It actually takes courage and faith to live in the life that God wants. You are bound to experience suffering and pain. But what does God want us to do with suffering and pain? He wants us to surrender that to Christ and to receive forgiveness of our own sins, the sins of our family, the sins of our nation, the sins of our world, to bring that before God with courage and say, God, I'm not going to try to overcome this evil through hatred or violence or fear. I'm going to overcome evil through forgiveness. This is the only way to overcome the darkness and the pain that we see in this world. Write this thought down, and this is the last thing I'm ending with. In order to receive peace, you must be courageous enough to let go of your pain. Some of you don't have peace, and you don't have the Holy Spirit really working in and through your life. The Holy Spirit's there, but you don't experience the fullness of that because you're still holding things against yourself. You haven't given that and been forgiven in Christ for decisions you've made. You have a low self-identity, self-confidence, experience forgiveness. Some of you don't experience peace because someone has wronged you or betrayed you or stolen from you or backstabbed you. In order to experience peace in that relationship, you can't control what they do, but you can control what's inside of you. We must have courage to let go of that pain and give that to God. Some of you need to let go of the grudge you have with God. You lost a loved one, someone's sick in your family. Something didn't happen according to what you think should have happened. And so you put that on God. I had a Facebook post going on about 3 months ago, and someone got really nasty on the Facebook post and said, was kind of condemning this other commenter and said, man, like this really nasty stuff, like quoting scripture saying, you know, you're this sinful something, evil person. And someone else came on, then the person responded and said, you're the exact reason like I became an atheist. You call yourself a Christian and you're nothing but condemning me for something that I said that wasn't even very hurtful or wasn't even evil. This other Christian came in and was criticizing and condemning this person. And then someone wrote back to this conversation on that post. It was very beautiful. And it said, and let's just say the person who was condemning, his name was Tony, making up the name. But someone commented and said, don't let a person like Tony keep you from a person like Jesus. You got to remember that. See, because sometimes we blame God for the hurts and the pains of this life, but we can't let bad experiences from others or even bad experiences that seem to be random or natural disasters cause us to say, God, are you mad at us? Or God, you're evil? Or God, you have a problem? Let's not confuse what happens in our experiences in this life with the nature and character of who God is, which never changes, which is love, which is peace, which is hope, which is value, which is worth, which is preciousness, which is calling, which is purpose. Do you get what I'm saying? This is who God is, and we can't know this until we experience forgiveness. Till we forgive, we allow God to forgive us, we allow the grudges in our life to be forgiven, or even the forgiveness of the things that we hold against God. Would you do this? Would you stand to your feet with me right now as we close? And if maybe you get some on the keys or guitar for me real quick. And we're going to go into In Christ Alone as we finish. I want to end with that song. But, you know, I want to encourage you. 2017, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Did you know we can't even say that we are one with God or that we are in the family of God unless our life exhibits a level of his peace and it also creates that peace for others around us? You see what I'm saying? Like, we know we are one with God when God's peace flows through us, right? When his love and his forgiveness and his compassion, even to evil, flows through us. And that's the invitation. We're so bound by fear and by hatred, and by what someone said about us, or what they labeled us, or how they called us. What God's calling for his church in this year is to be peacemakers, is to be the body of people that said, I know the world out there has problems, and people are striving and trying to overpower each other through war, through money, through greed, through lust, through self-seeking interests. We're here to be the people that say, that's not the path to life. That's not the path to freedom. That's not the path to healing, to purpose. The path to that is found in the peace of Christ, in following Christ, in knowing Christ, in sacrificing what we think is best to say, God, I surrender to what you have for me. Today, the invitation to his church is to receive a freshness of his Holy Spirit. You want to know how to follow Christ? You can't do it but through the Helper, through the Holy Spirit. And so my prayer for you today is that the Holy Spirit would come to you. But in order for that to happen, the posture of forgiveness and the humility to ask and say, God, I can't live what he's talking about into myself. Trust me, I'm preaching to myself. I can't live what I'm telling you every single day in and out, just waking up like I'm gonna do it. It requires the Holy Spirit to come and to fill my heart and to renew my strength and to remind me of what really is eternal at the end of the day. Someone once said, it takes a moment to forgive, but it takes the rest of your life to hold on to a grudge. would you start off January 1st, 2017 by letting go of whatever's been holding you back from the destiny God has planned for you? Would you start off this new year by saying, I'm done fighting or striving or trying to prove myself or holding on to this argument and say, God, this year is your year. This year, I'm giving all of my life to you. I'm giving all of my money to you. I'm giving all of my treasures and my status and my education. And God, I don't know what you bless me with. I'm sure it's a lot of things I don't even realize, but whatever you've given me, I'm giving right back to you. You will not find peace until you do that. You will not find peace until you let go of all the things that are holding your heart and your plans and your future and say, God, in spite of all that, I'm giving it all to you, because at the end of the day, Lord, I want to be one with my Creator, with my Maker, with the one who knows me. Would you close your eyes with me? I just want to pray over you. And we're going to worship this last song, In Christ Alone, because it's so true that it's all about knowing Christ. It's not about a religion. It's not about doing a bunch of spiritual things. It's not about, you know, having a great resume. It's truly about saying, Christ, I want to know the life you live. I want to experience the peace you have. I want to do what you did. I want to look like you look. I want to touch people the way you touched people. But Lord, before any and all that, I just want to be one with you. As you're here and your eyes are closed, and I want you to ask a question that I asked you at the beginning. Do you experience peace on a day-to-day basis? Do the communities you live in, do they know peace? Do your enemies, do they know peace? And today, I want to offer you an opportunity to pray to God for peace in your life and also peace for all those around you and all those layers and levels. So if you're here and you desire for 2017 to be a year that you walk in the peace that Christ gives freely, I want you right now just to lift up both hands with palms towards heaven in surrender and say, God, this year's your year. 2017 is not going to be marked by the things that I think I want in my business, with my health, with goals I have, but God, at the end of the year, I want to know you. I want to celebrate 2018, and when people go around the table and they say, what are you thankful for in this year? I want to say, wow, I'm one with God. I've known God's love and God's life in a whole brand new way this year, and even though I might have lost some money, I might have had some things not go my way, I still am found through Christ. Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters this year who right now are letting go of bitterness, are letting go of pain, are letting go of the doubts they have in you because of the way things have rolled out for them. Lord, I pray right now that they would surrender their dreams, surrender their talents, surrender the color of their skin, surrender their socioeconomic status, surrender their education, surrender their best and their worst, and give it to you and be found in love in you. Jesus, you are the one we follow. You are our Savior. You are the one who is full of peace, and that's all we ask for, God, is to be known and to be one with you. God, remove anything in us that hinders us from walking with you, any strongholds in our life, God, that take us away from the path you have. We lay it down, we throw it away in this moment, and we ask for a fresh anointing of your Spirit. God, send us the helper, awaken us to the helper, that we would know what you have for us in every situation, every day. Let us start every day by seeking and putting you first. Let us start every meal by putting you first. Let us start every conversation at work by putting you first. Let us start every family relationship, and even the ones that are tough, by putting you first and saying, God, through all of this, I want to be one with you. God, I give myself to being a peacemaker this year, to following you in all that we do in Christ alone. Thank you and thank you. This life is a gift. And what you offer is free. I accept it today with all my heart for my family, for my kids, for my legacy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's sing the song.